Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Internet Marketing, episode 15, Advanced Pay-Per-Click. Hello everyone and welcome to Internet Marketing episode 15 with Andy White, that's me, and our other resident expert, Jeremy Jacobs, and today we're talking about advanced pay-per-click techniques. Did I say paperclip then, again?
You didn't, you said pay-per-click, I think.
That's what I meant to say, pay-per-click. So Jeremy, let's just do a little summary of what some of these advanced techniques are, and then perhaps we can go and drill down into detail with each one.
Well, I thought it'd be good to mention a few things that people may have heard of if they've listened to our previous podcast on pay-per-click management, and things that they may not have picked up on before or may have heard about, and are quite useful things to talk about that they might be finding useful to actually, you know, help get their campaign running really, really well.
Okay.
So I'm going to mention things. This thing called content network. Have a look at that and what that is and how we can use that.
Mm-hmm.
Also looking at negative keywords. We've mentioned before about keyword research and how that's useful. But there's this thing called negative keywords, which people sometimes, when they're first setting up a pay-per-click account, may actually not really know about or not think about. But they're really, really, really useful.
So negative keywords, they're not things like damn and oh
no.
We'll talk about them later, won't we?
We will, no. They're not okay. They're not swear words or anything
right.
Like that. But
okay.
We're looking at this thing called keyword insertion. I'm going to talk very briefly about creating a really good advert, the things that actually come up when people type in your keywords.
Okay.
But we'll be looking at this thing called keyword insertion.
That sounds good.
And conversion tracking, which we did mention last time, but we'll want to have a bit more of an in-depth look at that because it's very, very important in actually understanding how your campaign is running.
Okay.
So that's quite cool. And then just mention very quickly about some other potential pay-per-click suppliers, because we talk about Google AdWords as if they're the only people, but there are some other ones out there, so I'll have a look at those as well.
There's some new boys on the block, aren't there?
There certainly are.
So let's give our users some real treat. Let's give them some good usable stuff here.
Yes.
So perhaps should we talk about the first thing you mentioned, which I believe is content network.
Yes, content network. Well, it's all about where your ads are displayed on Google. When you go in as a default, your ads will display across their whole network. So the network talking about all the different websites out there where your ads come up. But we can actually divide them into two further sections. There's the search network, which is Google, including everything to do with Google. So things like Frugal, Gmail, Google Local, mm-hmm. Google Maps, all of those ones, the 101 things that they seem to have nowadays. There's also their search network, which is their partners. So people like AOL, Tascali, these are all off the top of my head, of course, Tascali. NTL, I think, Ask as well. They all use Google AdWords and their ads to display on their own search engines as such. So they're all really good for getting lots of traffic in, good quality traffic. There's this other thing called the content network. Essentially what it is, again, Google have partnered with a number of major websites and also smaller websites to display their adverts. particular ones, Channel 4, Times Online, use those, use Google AdWords to actually display their ads. And that all comes under the part of Content Network. So what happens is someone, say for example me, I go onto a website and I'm reading about the news and I may notice that there's some Google AdWords coming up. They're actually coming from what we call the Content Network.
Is this like AdSense?
It is exactly the same as AdSense. So when you go online and you set up Google AdSense, if you have a website that you want to display Google AdWords on, that's where those adverts come from.
Okay.
Very, very good for getting your visibility up across the internet, but there's some key things that you need to remember about the Content Network. It's very, very good, but the thing that we need to remember is that when someone comes onto a website like that, they're not searching for something. You know, we go online to read news stories or something like that. So the key focus of the user is all about reading news or finding out information. Their task and their mind's not set on searching for something. So you're going to find that with the Content Network, your click-through rate or the number of people who click on your adverts is going to be significantly lower.
Okay.
And when I say significantly lower, I really do mean significantly lower.
There's an important difference here, because if you were just doing like a pay-per-click campaign, correct me if I'm wrong, that means that under the right conditions, your advert would appear on that right-hand side bit on the Google search page itself.
That's correct.
But if you participate in this Content Network concept, then your ads can potentially or will appear on other people's website. Is that how it works?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, right. And do you have to consciously sort of tick a tick box or something to say, I want to join the Content Network, right?
Yes. As default, you will be set up to run on the Content Network. If you go into your campaign settings, you can do this individually. So you can have one campaign running on the Content Network and one not. So if you go into the individual campaigns you have running and go into the campaign settings, there is a tick box that says display your ads on, and that's the Search Network and the Content Network.
And that's on by default, is it, Jeremy?
That's all on. By default. So, you can go in and switch them off. There's no harm in having your ads running on the Content Network. You just need to be aware that that your click-through rate is going to be significantly lower, and you're not going to get a lot of clicks. Some people choose to switch it off. Some people leave it on, and it does vary for business to business. We do have some clients who Content Network works fantastically well for them, some others it doesn't. So my advice to people would be, give it a go, leave the Content Network running. If it's not performing overly well, then you may want to consider switching it off, but if it is working and you are getting clicks through, then by all means leave it on.
Now, how much will you pay if somebody clicks on your ad from someone else's website? Is it more or less, or how does it affect it?
It does depend. Again, it all comes back to your keywords you're bidding on. The cost will generally be about the same. The major problem with Content Network, or not so much a problem, but something you don't have the same facilities with, is you can't tell where your traffic's coming from. You'll just have one line that says Content Network, and it will group together all of the websites and just give you a figure. And you cannot tell what keywords people are clicking on. So, as before, with the Search Network, you can tell, okay, this particular keyword's performing very well, so I'll work on that one. The Content Network, they lump it together.
Okay. Do you think that might change in the future?
I'm not too sure. I wouldn't imagine so. I mean, it's very difficult. The problem that Google will have is there's millions of websites out there.
Sure.
All working for them. And so I think for them to be able to bring all of this information together would be quite a big job. And I would say it's unlikely that they'll actually provide that information to us.
Okay. So is that all to be said on Content Network?
I believe so. That's all everyone would need to know about Content Network.
So let's move on to the next thing you spoke about then.
Yes. So looking at adverts, negative keywords, in fact.
Negative keywords.
So it's not a bad negative thing. It's a good thing. Very, very good. Negative keywords are fantastic for making your campaigns very, very niche or specific to a user.
Yeah,
very. I think they're quite underused at the moment, and I really want to sort of put across, get in there and get some negative keywords in. Easiest way to explain this is by example. We had a client before that sold t-shirts, printed t-shirts, logos, things like that on there. They only supply to large corporations, so say for example a supermarket that wants to kit out all of their employees in branded t-shirts, for example. They didn't want to focus on football clubs, cricket clubs, very small clubs where they only may have an order of say 10 or so. That wasn't, you know, they weren't interested in that business. So what we did was on their campaign we added these negative keywords with keywords such as football club, cricket club, rugby club. So that when someone typed in rugby club t-shirt printing, their ads didn't come up. Okay? So it's all about saying we don't want to advertise to these people. We only want to advertise to a certain group.
Now, I'm guessing that you only learn who you don't want to advertise at after it's been running for a while. Is that right? By looking at your stats?
Well, I think as you're doing your keyword research, I think it's a really good idea to keep in the back of your mind about negative keywords. So when you're doing your keyword research and you go through, say, for example, the keyword suggestion tool, you may run down the list and notice, no, we don't do that, we don't do that. And people tend to ignore those keywords and saying, I don't do that. My advice is to take those keywords and put them into your negative keyword list so that your adverts are much more defined to your target audience. And I think most companies can probably think of areas that they may get inquiries about, which they often have to sort of turn down or
sure,
things like that.
A good
example might be, say for example, I sell business cards. I don't want anyone coming to me who wants playing cards, credit cards, birthday cards. So I would have negative keywords that said birthday, credit, and business, not business, because that's what we're selling. The other thing I said.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the idea behind negative keywords. You can put them at your campaign level, so you can have campaign negative keywords, or you can attach them to each individual ad group. Very, very powerful tool, and something definitely to keep in mind.
And you say that's underutilised right now.
I think it is.
Not many people using it.
I think it is. From my experience of training people in pay-per-click and the companies, when we do PPC rescue, so we look at people's campaigns and give them advice on what they need to do, it's very, very rare that I'll find negative keywords in there.
Okay. And presumably you're finding that had they put negative keywords in, they would be getting a better result.
They would. The idea behind it is that your traffic levels, your impressions will probably be reduced, but that's a good thing because we're reducing the people out we don't want clicking on our adverts.
Okay.
It's, you don't want someone coming through on and seeing your ad and clicking on your ad and you paying for that and then them realising at that point that's not what you offer them. You're wasting money.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's very, very important. Couple that with good advert copy, which we'll discuss in a moment.
Okay.
Negative keywords and good advert copy go hand in hand to reduce the amount of people clicking on your ads that aren't actually going to purchase from you or buy a product or service.
Right, so can we now talk about copy? Because we could have a whole podcast series on copy, because this is something I'm really getting into myself, actually. How you write stuff that attracts people in.
Yes.
What's your view on this?
We'll give a sort of high overview on some good tips that you can use in your adverts. We'll take the example of Google AdWords for this. Google AdWords has very, as I'm sure anyone who's created advert, has very defined limits on each line and how many characters you can put in.
Yeah.
25 on your title, 35 on the two descriptions, and then you have your URL at the bottom. First piece of advice about the title is get keywords in there as much as possible. If someone types in a particular search phrase and an advert comes up with that exact search phrase in there, they're much likelier to click on your advert regardless of your position. Of course, if you're position 5 or below, they probably won't see it, but you're going to help yourself if your keywords are in there. That's where we come onto keyword insertion. I'll discuss that in a moment. We'll just continue through the rest of the ad and give you some tips on that.
Sure,
so get your main key phrases into that title. My advice is to let your campaign run for a little while. And then when you go to actually view your ad group performance, you should notice that your impressions column at the top, you can actually click on the link.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
At the top, and it will reorder your keywords in highest impressions to lowest impressions. Mm-hmm. My advice would be to use your highest impressions key phrase and use that in your copy. Okay,
what, in the title or somewhere in the description?
In the title, ideally.
In the correct order, literally word for word?
Yes.
Okay.
Because what we're trying to see there is that is the key phrase that's searched on the most, so most of your customers are coming through on that keyword. If they see that in the title, they're much more likely to click on an advert.
Okay.
Okay. Second line down, really try and get some really good description of what you're selling, what you're doing. Just a sort of unique selling point of your business, something that's going to put you over your competitor. Okay. So nice description of what you're selling. Third line, you may find you need to continue that description maybe over to the next line, but the key is to make sure that you get a call to action on that last line at the end.
So would you say that the keywords are less important in those two description lines?
No, not at all. I try and get them in where you can, because remember that if someone does a search and the keyword they've typed in is in your advert copy, it will come up in bold. It'll attract the user's attention more, and statistics do show that people are more likely to click on an advert that has keywords bolded than if not.
Okay, so you're really trying to get like a call to action that includes, as many keywords as possible.
Absolutely.
Without sounding silly.
Absolutely. So we always advise there are going to be some times when you can't get a call to action in there, but really do try. Even if you're an online insurance company and you offer free quotes, now most people know that quotes are generally free for that sort of business, but put on there free online quotes, then sure. Someone knows that you do offer them a quote online, they're much more likely to come to you because they're going to achieve the task they want to. Okay. Just a little interesting thing. Three words that people find most interesting or attract their attention on online advertising are free, sex, and chocolate. So if you can offer that to your customer, then you're onto a winner there.
Well, it's almost worth doing a competition, isn't it? Let's say you can get all of those three words into their call to action line.
And I will not be held responsible for anything that happens after that.
I'm going to expect now to see loads of Google ads for free sex chocolate. Or free chocolate sex, or something like that. In fact, you could have a website called chocolatesex.com.
A lot of companies... It's interesting. I think there's been a couple of case studies in the past where companies have offered their customers sort of free chocolates every time they do an online quote. And all they send them is like four cheap chocolates. But they get the opportunity to use free chocolate in their advert. And Google editorial guidelines state that if you don't offer what you're saying in your advert, you can't put it up. So unless you do offer...
Well, presumably nobody's putting free sex in their adverts, are they?
They would probably come under the guidelines of illegal activities, so they probably would come across that and actually ban you.
But what if you put, like, free sex and then... another word that begins with sex. I can't think of a word that begins with sex.
I was thinking...
Would it be bolded? the sex bit? Or is it only whole words?
I would imagine, no, it'd only be the whole word, unfortunately.
Ah, so right, okay. That's the way it works, right. I'm sorry, I've just downgraded the whole of this podcast now with my filthy mind. Let's get, perhaps we better move on to the next thing you were talking
swiftly
about.
Swiftly moving on.
You're swiftly moving on.
Keyword insertion.
Ah, okay.
When, I'm sure anyone who's used Google knows that eBay rule the ad Google AdWords. You can type in some pretty interesting key phrases and their adverts will come up. We did type in once nuclear missile and eBay popped up saying...
I've seen this. Yeah. Is this where they almost cheat? And if you put in like blobby, dobby, dobby, stripy badger... Yeah. It will literally come up blobby, 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 stripy badgers for sale on eBay or
yes,
something.
That's exactly right. What happens.
How do they do
it's
that?
It's this thing called keyword insertion, and it's a piece of, I want to say code, but it's not necessarily because it's not that complex. It's just the way you write your titles, it lets you actually use this keyword insertion tool. So what Google will do is every time someone types in a search phrase and you're up against those keywords, it will take whatever they typed in and place it into the title, or you can also use it in the description lines as well. So actually,
that's got to be cheating, hasn't it?
Well, no, not really, because I mean, Google at the end of the day, it's a system that Google promote and use, so it's something to help people to actually get. Because you remember what we were going back earlier and saying that if that key phrase appears in the title, someone's much more likely to click on you. So that's theory of actually doing that.
But presumably, I mean, it would only be stuff that you could legitimately supply.
Well, yes. I mean, it would only ever come up on the keywords you have in your ad group. So,
I'm with you.
So you wouldn't have any keywords in there that you wouldn't be able to use.
So with my example, they would have had to have had blobby, dobby, and stripy and badger in their keywords.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, but not necessarily in that order.
eBay have millions of pounds, and they have a lot of affiliates doing a lot of work for them, so they cover pretty much any word in the dictionary. But for us using it can be an effective tool, especially if you've got a lot of keywords in an ad group, you know, hundreds, thousands of keywords, and you can't create different ad groups for every single sort of section of keywords. It can be quite useful.
Yeah.
Problems with it though is it's very, very clunky, as we can see with the eBay adverts. You can very clearly tell it's not written, you know, as it should be. It can sometimes come across a bit clunky. So it needs to be used wisely. I personally, when I see those adverts, I don't like them. I much rather see an advert that has clearly been written by someone. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how users perceive these sorts of adverts, but I wouldn't rule out using them. They can be an effective tool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's keyword insertion.
It is. So if you are interested in doing that, go onto Google AdWords, type in keyword insertion into their help facility, and you'll get a little description of how to use it. I won't go into describing how to write one because it's reasonably bit too complicated.
It's a bit involved, is it?
It is. But if you go on and have a look there, then you can actually see how it works.
Well, it sounds pretty good. It does sound pretty useful, actually, in the right circumstances, I suppose.
We do.
Yeah.
We use it for our bigger clients. My advice, though, would be if you can, do take the time and effort to actually create handwritten adverts, because I think users will appreciate that more.
Yeah. I mean, I get slightly annoyed when I see it, I have to say. I think, cheats!
Yes.
Okay, so what's next on the list?
Next thing is conversion tracking. Just wanted to touch on conversion tracking quickly. I think we mentioned it last time, but just to really, really make the emphasis of, if you have listened to our last podcast and you still haven't done the conversion tracking, then please, please, please do. It's really, really good tool. So conversion tracking is this idea about checking what people are essentially doing on your site. So I sell, for example, business cards. Go back to that lovely example.
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes online, they order some business cards from me, they pay for it, they come through, they get a lovely thank you for paying us, your cards are on their way, confirmation mm-hmm. page. It's that page where we put what's called this conversion tracking on.
Okay.
So what it actually does, it'll actually be able to tell Google that we've bought, this person's bought something, and it'll actually come up on your reports on your account that someone's actually bought something from you. So you're able to track what, you know, that people are clicking on your advert, but they're actually purchasing something.
Now, this is very much like, because we've had this conversation as well before, haven't we? It's very much like the goal bit of Google Analytics.
Yes.
And apparently they're closely related anyway, aren't they, these two bits of functionality?
They are, absolutely. I believe we have done a podcast on Google Analytics.
We did, and what fun it was
so
as well.
It was. So do go back if you haven't heard that one, because there's some good advice on that. But it's really about, you know, you sit down, I sit down, I build a website, I set up these adverts, I know what I want to track. I know what I want to track, whether people are buying from me, whether they're contacting me, whether they're doing something on my website, and conversion tracking gives you the opportunity to do that. So again, pop onto Google AdWords help function and type in conversion tracking, and you can actually see how that works and set that up. And it's free, which is great.
And this really does illustrate, doesn't it, that the power of online marketing, just this ability to track really quite accurately how successful a campaign is, even enabling you to sort of like tweak the words that you're using and immediately see results.
Absolutely.
It's so powerful.
Absolutely, very powerful tool.
Is that it? Have we come to the playlist, or was there something else?
We will mention one more thing, Andy.
Yes.
Seeing as we're running out of time. Just wanted to mention about two of the other guys. We should not forget YSM, or Yahoo Search Marketing.
Of course, the other kids on the block.
Other ones.
Yes.
Now, YSM's been around for quite a while, and they were formerly Overture. They're now part of Yahoo Search Marketing Services. So YSM, something else to consider.
YSM
or Yahoo Search Marketing. That's me and my jargon coming out with my YSMs.
Yeah.
It's actually Yahoo Search Marketing. Do it. Type that into your preferred search engine and they will come up. Have a look at those guys. They offer quite an extensive network. So if you're looking to advertise with Yahoo, they're the people to go with. And there's a very new kid on the block, MSN Ad Center. So that's Microsoft's version.
Sorry. Gone far away.
MSN. Mike Sierra November.
Mike Sierra November.
Ad Center. So MSN Ad Center. So if you want to advertise on MSN Search, that's the guys to go to as well.
That of course would be our friends Microsoft.
Would be our lovely friends Microsoft.
Okey-dokey.
And very much still in its infancy, still going, quite similar to Google AdWords. But unfortunately, they've changed all their terminology. So all this lovely terminology we learnt about, like ad groups and things like that, they've renamed it all to confuse us.
What, this is MSN
have, yes. So
do we know how many people are using these services, roughly? Any idea?
As in advertisers?
As in people using their versions of pay-per-click,
well,
sort of percentage-wise.
I wouldn't, to be honest, know percentage-wise what it is. I would say Google AdWords is becoming very saturated, very competitive. Mm-hmm. People are starting to turn to the other systems. Yahoo Search Marketing was part of Overture, and Overture's been around. Overture essentially created the pay-per-click advertising system, so they've been around
since
day one. Yes, they did.
So they predated Google doing it.
They did. So
you learn something new every day, don't you?
So they actually hold the sort of copyright. They did invent it, essentially. So they've been around for a very long time. Google AdWords came along a bit later on, and MSN have just appeared. Google AdWords by far is definitely the most used. 74% of users use Google as their search engine. So that's good.
Yep.
But I wouldn't rule out the other two. Test them out. Again, you've got control over how much you spend down your budget. So just test that out and see how you go with them, really.
Okay, okay. Well, some good information there. Have we covered everything, or was there something else to talk about?
We've covered absolutely everything.
So we have covered everything. So viewers, that's the wrong word, isn't it? Listeners, I suppose you could look at the computer while you're listening to this podcast. Thanks for listening. If you're not subscribed, remember to press that subscribe button in iTunes. Or you can subscribe on my website, which is www.summitsolutions.co.uk. But of course, the main sponsor of this podcast is Academy Internet, www.academyinternet.com. If you want to ask a question, send it to info@academyinternet.com. Or if you want to send us a little MP3 file with your voice on it, we would be more than happy to play it. So please do that. Feedback is always welcome. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing. Internet Marketing was brought to you by summitsolutions.co.uk.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.